Happy?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And can we have a clap, please? Tell me why you've decided to tell your story here, to give this interview.
Czy może nam pan powiedzieć, dlaczego zdecydował się wziąć udział w tej rozmowie?
Niech się świat dowie, że żyjemy w XXI wieku, a mimo to jest takie coś, że ludzie są dalej niewolnikami. Dalej są traktowani jak zwierzęta, jak coś, na czym można zarobić i zbić majątek.
People need to know that in the 21st century, people can be used for money and treated like animals. That story needs to be told.
It's 5 a.m. in West Bromwich.
Everybody else in their right mind is tucked up in bed.
Detective Constable Mike Wright is on his way to arrest a man he believes is involved in human trafficking and may have breached an anti-slavery court order.
He certainly comes across as quite a friendly young man. However, victims describe somebody who can be aggressive and violent, especially when he doesn't get his way, and he's managed to manipulate and exploit a lot of people, a lot of vulnerable people.
Mike's part of a West Midlands police team carrying out the biggest ever investigation into modern slavery, Operation Fort. The man they're after is suspected of belonging to a gang that's held scores of people captive and stolen their wages.
He poked his head out.
Need to arrest you.
Right.
For breach of a slavery and trafficking risk order.
That's him done.
The police have given Panorama unique access to every twist and turn of this groundbreaking case.
We've had somebody come forward and told us what's happened to them. So therefore you've breached the order. So we're going to arrest you, take you down to the police station and interview you about it. And obviously you'll get an opportunity to give your side of things, okay?
The police believe that arresting this man and having him locked up is the only way to stop him exploiting people.
Okay, I'm just going to place you in handcuffs, all right?
Please don't do that.
So just till we get into the car and then they'll be taken off when we get to the custody block. It won't be far, okay? So just put your hands like that, other way.
Detectives need every piece of evidence to show how this man and the gang he belongs to enslave people for personal gain. They find designer clothes, perfume, and gold jewellery.
They just buy things like this, and they just get thrown in cupboards, don't they?
They also find passports belonging to men living at the address, and jackets they believe may tie the gang to suspicious activity captured on CCTV.
It's like the same length. So I'll take a photo just for a comparison of the two, but we'll take that shorter one there.
8 gang members have already been charged and are due to stand trial in Birmingham. Others are on the run in Poland. They fled after being arrested and released on police bail.
It's been a long-term investigation lasting over 3 years now. It's been quite a challenge to keep track on our offenders as well as our victims.
Come on.
The crime group seem to be able to leave the country without leaving a trace of them leaving the country, without us being able to stop them. It's not as if they've completely disappeared, but it's really frustrating not to have them here and have that confidence that I've got them here to stand trial when we're ready to go to trial.
Ever been arrested before? Yeah. What's your name?
The last thing the police want is for this man to go on the run too.
Do you want a solicitor?
I'm half my solicitor.
You have a solicitor? Who is it that you've got?
Horbur Adam.
Okay, what firm does he work for?
I think that's the firm. Holborn Adams or Holborn and Adams, is it?
The custody officers have never heard of his lawyers.
They're not on our list.
They're a London firm.
Which we should have.
It turns out the suspect is represented by a top London firm. Mike is hoping he won't be given bail.
Should he be charged and the courts deem him a risk, so remand him in custody, firstly, it would prevent him from fleeing the country, and secondly, it would safeguard any potential victims and also give the victims in this case confidence that we will take action and that the courts will give good sentences for these kind of breaches of these orders.
Okay.
The man appeared in court and was set free on bail by a district judge. He later skipped the country to Poland. Birmingham Crown Court, 9 months later. The trial of five members of the slave gang is about to begin.
Right, so we are opening at 2 o'clock, come hell or high water. There it is.
The trial of the other three will begin as soon as this one is over. The prosecution is being led by renowned anti-slavery barrister and government advisor, Caroline Haughey.
It's the largest human trafficking labour exploitation case in Britain ever. It's being tried under the Modern Slavery Act, and it is taking down a very large organised crime group and gouging out its heart.
There's a mountain of evidence. Caroline has to shape it into a compelling case that will convince a jury.
Right. There's so much material, so much complexity, so many parties. But getting it off the ground is challenging. And I just want the jury to understand from the outset what we're dealing with.
What Caroline is dealing with is a large, highly organized criminal enterprise. Each slaver has a specific role. At the heart of the gang is a Roma family from central Poland. Its matriarch is Justyna Parczewska. She met slaves when they first arrived. Marek Brzeziński organized housing for the captives, while Marek Hovaniec got them into Britain. His close friend, Juliana Hodakiewicz, arranged work for the slaves. Another of Marek's friends, Natalia Zmuda, stole the slaves' wages.
This is absolutely a family business. Amongst the people involved in this case are fathers, sons, cousins, uncles, mothers, aunts. So although it's family structured and that's where the core trust is, a few other trusted people are brought in to facilitate with their specific skill set.
The slaves were held in houses across the West Midlands. They were put to work in legitimate, well-known businesses. The gang committed their crimes in plain sight.
They are a group of people, predominantly family-focused, who share a vision on how they can exploit this commodity. The commodity happens to be human beings. A human being doesn't have one purpose. They are there to be utilised in any conceivable way that they can be.
Caroline has to show the defendants were working together to profit from the misery of others. The key to success is keeping things clear and simple.
I want the jury to be able to focus on matter and issue. Were these complainants vulnerable? Were they exploited? Was there an agreement between people to exploit them? And were these defendants party to that agreement? If I can explain that from the outset and kind of draw out the parts that will draw them in, well, then I'm doing my job.
Have you got? The case is a huge challenge for the small team. Good. Detectives Michelle and Mike need to check all the evidence and get witnesses to court. And barristers Nick and Emma have to help Caroline fight 10 defense lawyers. They have a vast amount of paperwork to prepare.
I need 15 copies to start the trial. We've got 8 here.
Right here, you're going to have 4 in another 2 hours.
How are we getting on with the graphics?
There is a printer jammed, so they're working on one printer at the moment.
Okay.
So unless the other printer gets up and running again, we're talking 4 hours.
Two for the defendants and five for the defence team, so we need seven copies. I will do with that. Yeah. It's not a big deal. It's really not a big deal. We're cool. It's very frustrating because, but the jury are with us. When you say to them there's 250,000 pages being reduced to 500,
yeah,
they kind of go, okay, yeah, we get it. Right, Holly.
The trial's due to last 4 months. Nick Dale led the police investigation that's put the gang members in the dock.
There has been a really protracted investigation because of the sheer volume of material, the number of witness statements, the length of those witness statements. And I have seen, and my team have seen, firsthand the profound effect this has had on the victims of this crime. It's the sort of thing you join the police for.
Piotr Pavsky was one of the first witnesses to come forward in 2015.
Do thoughts of that time still run through your mind now?
Czasami się zdarza, czasami nerwy puszczają, czasami ściany.
Sometimes I do think about it. Sometimes my nerves get the better of me.
Czasami
I tend to break things and I'm really nervous.
Terapię psychologiczną.
I do have a therapy at the moment, but I'm getting really upset and nervous, especially when the court case is coming up.
Powiem tak, tego się nie da zostawić za sobą, to zawsze gdzieś jest.
It's impossible to forget about it. It just stays with you. It's inside of you, inside of me and other people like me who this happened to.
No co chwilę gdzieś spotyka osoby, które...
You can't just erase that. And you keep meeting people who had the same story and it just reminds you about it. I try to not think about it, but it's just impossible to just forget about it.
No nie idzie tego zapomnieć.
The paperwork for the evidence bundles has arrived. Now it needs to be filed in the right place.
No, it's like filming a really bad team in The Apprentice, isn't it? Who's going to get fired? That's the question. Is it going to be?
Junie.
Who's Caroline going to take in the boardroom there?
It's become clear to the police that the gang they've caught is one of many operating across Britain. They believe Home Office estimates of the number of slaves are way too low.
Right, this is it.
My eyes have been opened to the sheer volume of this criminality within our communities. Back in 2013-14, there was an estimate that there were 10,000 to 13,000 victims of modern slavery in the UK at any one time. If we look at our experience in West Bromwich, which is only a very small part of the West Midlands, I think you could multiply that estimate several times.
The case first came to light through anti-slavery charity Hope for Justice. 4 years ago, one of its workers reported desperate people turning up at a church soup kitchen.
We've been operating in the West Midlands for a number of months, and we were advised by the people at Centrepoint Church that they'd got a number of potential victims of modern slavery, stroke human trafficking.
This man is a former police officer who works undercover rescuing slaves. So his face is not being shown.
We realised from the intelligence and information we were gaining from the victims that behind all this was an organised crime group, a very organised crime group.
The Hope for Justice had a man on the ground who realised that he was being told the same story about the same perpetrators over and over again, and he took them to the police. And slowly the picture pieces started emerging. And it was almost as if Hope for Justice created us the corners and the edges of the jigsaw.
This is the road where we rescued our first victims from. There were at least 14, 15 people living in the house. The electricity had been disconnected, gas had been disconnected. It's a pretty desperate situation. If I remember rightly, there were no carpets on the floor. this was January. It was very, very cold.
Powiem szczerze, to nie były warunki. To był dla mnie to był totalny chlew, za przeproszeniem.
Honestly, it was appalling. It was worse than any living conditions. It's like where animals live. We slept on mattresses that were possibly dragged from the street and just like that on the floor. We used our own clothing for cover and to keep warm. There was no hot water. We had to boil water in a kettle to clean ourselves and wash our clothes. It was appalling.
While some slaves were rescued, others had to escape.
We had the one person watching over us, and we had this one window of opportunity, so we ran for it. We ran through schoolyards, we ran towards the motorway, just to make sure that we're not showing the place where we're actually going to be meeting the people who help us to escape. We switched our phones off because we knew that as soon as we escape and that happens, you get the phone calls with threats that you need to come back or you will be killed.
When the police interviewed the slaves, they all told the same story of entrapment, exploitation, and threats of violence.
This friend who went to Manchester yesterday, they drove him somewhere and he got beaten up. And that's why we ran away, because we were scared that it will happen to us.
Ale później stwierdził, że jak mnie połamie, no to chyba jeszcze bardziej się nie będę nabywała do pracy.
Yes, what he was saying to me that if I couldn't be bothered to work, he's going to break my bones.
And he said to me that if I have plans of running away, he could go to the forest and I could dig a grave for me.
The police believe there were 300 victims. More than 80 provided statements.
No, chciał mnie pobić na pewno.
He definitely wanted to beat me up.
Definitely wanted to beat you up.
It was no accident the slavers based themselves in the heart of England.
The good thing about the area and why it helped the traffickers in a way was that there was already an established Polish community here. When victims came into the country, they would come via coach. Generally speaking, they were in West Bromwich or Smethwick, close by to where the traffickers were living. And also, because of the motorway networks, the M5 just on the doorstep and the M6, it was easy for the victims to be transported down to London, to Wales and other areas. There's affordable housing in these areas, so the traffickers would be able to get as many as 10, 12 victims into one house, a 3 or 4 bedroom house, at a cost of about £500 a month. All the things that they need are on their doorstep, basically.
The slavers picked their targets carefully too. The desperate, those with drug or alcohol problems, on the run from the law, and the homeless.
To znaczy, przebywałem wtedy jeszcze w Polsce, w Gdańsku i akurat byłem, można powiedzieć, takim...
At the time, I lived in Gdańsk in Poland, and I could say that I was homeless, living at the train station. A couple of gypsy people approached me, asking me if I would like to go to the UK to work and earn some money. As I was looking for work at the time and needed money, I thought, why not? It could be a good possibility to get out of Poland.
Jak zła moja praca była sytuacja, moja
I was penniless, I had nothing. I was begging outside of the churches.
Jedno jest pewne, ja bym wrócił teraz do Polski, to będę siedział.
I've got a pending sentence in Poland for 7 months.
Wrócę na...
I know if I go back, I'll go straight to prison and then back on the streets.
We are dealing with vulnerable people. When you are desperate and someone offers you a solution, our complainants would bite their hands off for this.
Bydgoszcz, northern Poland, an industrial city with both wealth and poverty. Many of the slaves came from here. DC Mike Wright has come to see how they were ensnared.
So we're going to where the victims' stories began. It's going to be interesting to see the location, see what the see if there are any potential vulnerable people in the area.
Recruitment would take place around areas where homeless people were attracted to: train stations, homeless shelters, large shopping centres, and those were the three main targets of area. There's no single geographical area. The tentacles of this organisation spread far and wide in Poland.
So this is the Rondo shopping centre. It's quite a landmark, and it's probably about 5 or 10 minutes from the bus station, so it's sort of ideal hunting ground for traffickers, really. You speak English? Do you know where the coach station is? Bus? Inside?
No.
Okay. We were only here for about 20 minutes this morning. We saw a group of men outside the front by the benches who were drinking and looked homeless, and they were begging for food.
I'm hungry.
Hungry? You're hungry? Ah, right.
Mike's worried these men could easily be exploited by new gangs of slavers.
It's absolutely still going on. The risk versus the reward is worth them doing it. It's financially viable, and there are plenty of people who can be victimised. I haven't got a light, sorry. It's evident that there are homeless people. They certainly fit the demographic of the victims in the case. It's potentially a really good place to recruit people. Speak English?
No.
Yeah, I don't smoke.
No.
Don't speak that much English, do you?
Once the slaves had been recruited, the traffickers put them under pressure.
The technique used was making the travel to the UK very quick. So we'd recruit someone on a Monday and they'd be travelling on the Tuesday. And that would create disorientation for the complainants because there was no one to tell they'd gone. An opportunity has arisen. This is a one-off.
Slaves were recruited from small towns as well as big cities.
Zawiózł nas do Bydgoszczy. Bydgoszczy poszliśmy tam do domu.
So we were taking in a car from my hometown to Bydgoszcz. Then they put us in rooms, kind of like a basement, when they were sorting out our tickets on the internet. We just got given the tickets and were told to just give them to the driver. And then we traveled for 19 hours straight to the UK. I met a woman, a Polish woman on that bus, who was telling me that she's been in the UK for 8 years and that it's very good, that life is very nice.
Bydgoszcz bus station. Dozens of slaves were trafficked to the UK from here.
What do you think was in the victims' heads when they got on the bus here?
Looking forward to a better way of life. They weren't necessarily thinking that the pavements of the UK were lined with gold, but they just wanted a better standard of living, a better wage, a job that they could work at and earn a decent living. They weren't expecting much, but what they were expecting was just to be treated fairly, and that's not what happened.
Back in Birmingham, the trial has now been running for 2 months.
OK, who needs feeding? Because I do. Nick, what do you fancy? Do you want a burger?
Superfood salad.
Come on, go dirty with me.
Once the slaves were in the UK, the traffickers controlled their every move. Caroline must explain this systematic manipulation to the jury.
You've got to show the whole chain, because it seems farcical that someone could buy into this utopian dream that they were being offered. Repeatedly, so many people would buy into that, and that I think we as people who are sitting on the jury or who are involved in the process need to educate ourselves and others about how and why did this happen.
The slaves had been promised free travel, free accommodation, and £300 a week. The reality was different. They were paid very little and charged for everything. Soon, they were deep in debt to their captors.
Po przyjeździe z zakupami i z tymi pościelami.
After they came back with the shopping, they told us that actually it looks a little bit different. They're gonna first discount from our future earnings the money for the tickets and for accommodation and for the shopping. And actually, from a promise 50, 60 pounds a day, we will get half only and they keep the other half. And I said, why? That wasn't the deal. And they said, well, that's the deal now.
What was your feeling when they said that to you?
I was very unhappy and shocked, but I had no money to go back. We had to make it work somehow, so we'll have to keep working to keep earning money.
How could I feel when I was closed in that vicious circle? I was promised that once I paid up my debts, I could leave and I could just go up on my own way. But that never happened, so it made me feel horrible.
Was there no chance to escape?
Czy czuł się pan, że nie było szansy ucieczki?
Liczyłem na to, że wszystko się pomału zmieni, że
I did really hope that things will straighten out, that it will be better from week to week. But nothing really was changing and there was an insider, another Polish guy living in the same conditions as us, but he must have been getting some allowance to keep an eye on us and reporting every move that we could possibly have taken to do something about our situation.
Victims don't know their surroundings, they don't speak the language. They might be told, if you leave, the police will pick you up, beat you up, they'll fine you, they'll deport you. And because these victims don't know any better, they'll believe what the traffickers are saying because they don't know the level of exploitation at this stage. So that's kind of what you might call the isolation phase, where they isolate the individuals and show them that this is the experience of a Polish worker in the UK.
Once the traffickers had psychological control of the slaves, they took control of their finances.
They'd be taken by one of the key people in the organisation, often Marek Ivanovich, who spoke excellent English, taken to a bank. Bank account was opened in their name. Most of the complainants spoke next to no English.
We go to West Bromwich.
And
we went to PSB Bank and we managed to open the bank accounts. And after that, we simply went to another bank to open another bank account.
So you think you have two bank accounts?
Czyli myśli pani, że dwa konta bankowe miała pani otwarte?
No, trzecie mam miesiąc temu otworzone.
Yes, and the third one opened a month ago.
The slaves may have had bank accounts, but they had no control over them.
Their name would be given, their identity card would be taken over and photocopied, which is absolutely normal, but the address given for the bank account bore no relation to where the complainant was staying, but would be an address under the control of the organisation.
When it was set up, were you given a card or any paperwork?
W momencie, jak konto zostało już otwarte, czy otrzymał pan kartę może albo rachunek bankowy jakiś? No. I've never seen the card, you know, it's not come to me. I don't know which address it was provided.
When the police raided the traffickers' homes, they found a Bentley, designer clothing, cash and a stack of debit cards, as well as evidence that showed they had control of 174 bank accounts. In total, police believe the gang had made £2 million.
As you open that up, there is a significant quantity of bank cards that are in other people's names. And if you turn those over, you'll find that almost all of them have the PIN written on the back of them. And that just ensures that whoever's given that card can access any of the funds from that account.
Bank records show how the slavers siphoned off victims' cash. Gang members were captured on CCTV, making withdrawal after withdrawal after withdrawal.
generally speaking, if you use an ATM machine, probably make one transaction, maybe two.
So how long was he in there for?
5 minutes, probably more. You're putting one card in after another, checking the balance, withdrawing the cash, and then sorted out later. This is in the early stages of the investigation, before anybody had been arrested at this point. Then we see him leave the branch.
Several high street banks were targeted by the gang. They opened 72 accounts at TSB.
No real asking of questions ever took place. It seemed to be quite normal for someone else to act as the interpreter without ever kind of questioning, why are you acting as the interpreter? Do we have someone else who's a Polish speaker? Bearing in mind, this all took place in West Bromwich, in the same high street, and the same person over and over again coming in.
Getting bank accounts for the slaves was one thing. Getting them jobs was quite another. The solution was to use moles inside employment agencies. Moles like Juliana Hodakiewicz. She got a job at eResponse in Worcestershire, now renamed Workforce Solutions.
She was specifically dealing with the traffickers to bring the victims into work. So she would even say that if somebody came into eResponse who wasn't sent by the traffickers, she would turn them away so that there were free jobs for the victims. It's quite vindictive, really. To do that to people from your own country. But she was making money, so I think it's just a greed issue.
Juliana's handler and close friend was senior gang member Marek Hovaniec.
On the morning of her first day, Marek Hovaniec sent her a list of names of people he controlled for her to register at the agency. And because Juliana was there, she enabled huge numbers of people all living at the same address to be registered. That would normally, where there's proper processes in place, be picked up, flag markers for sharing same address. So her inside knowledge facilitated extraordinary numbers of people going through. She enabled them to be slicker because they could literally put people in work the minute they arrived in the UK. This was guaranteed employment and guaranteed immediately.
There's a huge demand for unskilled labour. Sandfields Farm in Warwickshire supplies some of the UK's leading supermarkets. It fell victim to the slavers, despite going to great lengths to hire legitimate workers.
Most of our labour we recruit directly from Bulgaria and Romania. We actually go out there on the ground, we send our HR teams out there, we get involved in the interview process. So we're checking, we're actually getting to know the people from the point of interview. We do use a small number of agency workers for peak periods, Christmas, etc.
The agency Sandfields used was eResponse, where Juliana Hodakiewicz was working. One of the slaves employed at Sandfields for 2 days was Piotr Pawski. He was shuttled to work by his captors. When he complained, one of them took him and another slave for a drive.
I was really, really annoyed. He asked us to get in a car so there were no witnesses. And he told us that he found out we wanted to escape. He said, yes, you can escape, but I can't guarantee in what state. You can just go to the forest and dig the hole for yourselves, or you will be driven around in the boots like a sack of potatoes.
That is horrific to hear that, and I'm saddened. The victims of modern-day slavery employed by an agency ended up working in one of our businesses. Because what we really need to do is try and make sure this stops, not just in our business, but in the whole industry.
At Birmingham Crown Court, Juliana Hodakiewicz is claiming there's nothing wrong with her friend Marek paying her a commission to get slaves jobs.
What are our thoughts on her so far?
Just not coming across as very credible.
Okay.
And it's nice that she uses the word commission, because that's, in effect, that's what she's doing. She's taking a backhander But by trying to use the word commission, she's trying to make it sound like it's a legitimate source of income that she's entitled to receive.
But she's not. You've got to remember, our judge was an employment practitioner.
Mm. Oh,
so her knowledge of this far surpasses any of the rest of us. She understands the minutiae issues underlying all of this in a way that none of us do.
Yeah.
Okay, team, thank you. Keep prodding me. I'll ask for a break at 3.
Yeah.
Go for a little bit, then pull stumps.
For their own protection, the slaves rescued by Operation Fort were moved to cities at least 2 hours away from Birmingham, where they were looked after by the Salvation Army. It has a government contract to care for the victims of human trafficking across England and Wales. 3,354 last year, and rising.
This is a safe house run by the Salvation Army to support adult victims of modern slavery.
This safe house is one of dozens run by the charity.
We receive referrals from every single part of the UK, and that is towns, villages, and cities, affluent areas, poor areas. There's no discrimination from the sort of places that people can be exploited in.
It wasn't easy for the former slaves to trust the people now looking after them.
It took me a very long time to actually start talking about it and open up. It took about a month and a half. I was in Dover at the time, and this woman asked me if I need to talk about it, what happened to me. Should I speak to the police, really? And I thought that is the best idea, so I can testify and talk about people who brought me here, who were to blame for all this.
They might come with untreated injuries, with no documents, with the clothes they're standing up in, and nothing more. They've come out of a horrendous ordeal, and their faith in mankind has been really shaken. So although the nice people from the Salvation Army are saying we're going to help you, it might take a little bit of time to build that trust and for us to really make them feel that, yes, right now you are safe and you're with people that are going to help.
Mariusz Rykaczewski had been held by the slave gang for 4 months. As a former soldier in the French Foreign Legion, he was better equipped than most to cope. But he became a target when he tried to escape.
The criminal, it bit me in my ribs, and I have black eyes. Sometimes I'm sleeping with big knife because I'm afraid they come back again.
What happened to Marius is extremely typical, where one individual might be singled out and actually physically assaulted as an example to the other guys. And unfortunately for Marius, he was that man. I think he was seen to be a potential threat and a potential runner. And he was beaten up several times, and that's a threat to everybody. You step out of line, this could happen to you.
Once the slaves are safe, the police try to persuade them to give evidence in court.
I think it's very difficult to give evidence for a number of reasons. They are going to relive what was an extremely traumatic experience, where their freedom was taken away from them and they were living in really, really difficult situations. And then the fear of the perpetrators, the organised nature of this crime and the fact that it spreads through criminal networks, is pretty scary, because you are stepping out and you just don't know where you might come across these people again.
Mariusz, like many of the slaves, has a criminal past. He fled Poland after being convicted of burglary. He's the subject of a European arrest warrant. Defense lawyers will use this to attack his credibility.
And what would our position be in relation to questions being put about that, Caroline, if I disclose this now?
I think he's been convicted warrant. Already.
If it's, yeah. if it's a conviction warrant, well, then yes, that's yeah. admissible. Yeah, if it's dishonesty, yes.
Yeah, I think it will be. Yeah, I'm looking yeah. at his acquo. Yeah.
I do accept that the dishonesty matters must go in, because the whole question is the credibility of the witnesses.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
If he's got a previous conviction, and this EAW is in relation to the service of that conviction, which yeah. I understand it effectively is.
I think it probably is.
Well, yeah. Then it must be disclosed. But putting it globally, I don't really see the problem with it, because our position has always been,
yeah,
and one of the complainants even said, he was specifically targeting people who came out of prison, so, people who were homeless. So,
oh, of course, yeah. It's very double-edged, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
The defence are perfectly entitled to run whatever case they choose to. One of the defences being run is that all of these people are lying. My job is to show that these individuals are credible, because you don't get 82 people telling the same story who don't know each other. You know, forgive me for quoting Oscar Wilde, one is unfortunate, two is plain unlucky. What's 82? Extraordinary.
Dzień dobry. Dziękuję. You did so well.
Okay, but
after victims have given their evidence, Caroline thanks each one personally.
I just want you to know how grateful we are for you coming.
No, it's okay.
It is okay. Giving evidence is not as bad as everyone thinks, is it?
Well done in telling your story and getting that part of your life back, because now you own it. Okay? You did really well. So thank you.
You're welcome.
It has been a privilege and a pleasure meeting you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
It's 4:30 a.m. in Bourneville.
Sookie, have you been told what the crack is?
With the address, what we're doing?
Yeah.
DC Mike Wright's looking for the gang member who skipped bail and went on the run 3 months ago.
An anonymous tip came forward to say that he may be at this address. In December last year, officers visited. There was up to four Romanian nationals living there who were potential victims of trafficking, but didn't want to come forward at the time. We haven't got a warrant, so it's literally knock the door. If he's not there, deal with what we find, basically, when we're there.
Right, let's go. Caffeine hit.
The inquiry's been ongoing for 3 years, and pursuing people who've done a runner makes life quite complicated. They're obviously probably quite savvy to some of the techniques we use. Will be changing their phone numbers and moving around quite a lot. So it's really just about trying to strike whilst the iron's hot, so to speak.
Dan, if you could just go just sort of round the back, just okay. Down that alley, and we'll let you know.
Hello? The police?
Bună dimineața, sunt de la poliție, nicio grijă. Vă întreabă dacă pot să intru un pic în casă ca să vă pună câteva întrebări.
Da,
oh, fantastic. Okay?
Okay.
There's nothing to worry about. We're just here to see if there's somebody at the address, that's all. Is this your room in here? Yeah, okay. Give us a chuck here, mate, just in case.
Where are you, mate?
Just down here.
The gang member isn't here. The rooms are crammed with people who don't speak English. Mike is suspicious.
There's two eyes in there. Is it okay if we come in here?
Okay. Ah, no lights.
Yes. How many's in there?
Two.
Seven, eight, nine, 10, 11.
Okay.
Yep.
There's some elements of it which are obviously dodged, but by and large, I think
it's unmanageable, really, isn't it, in terms of the amount of people who are here?
Okay, it's full of food, there's all boxes of veg outside, they've all got ID, they've all got bank cards.
Yeah, just basic details, mate, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care.
The case will be logged for intelligence purposes. This team don't have the resources for another criminal investigation.
It's highly likely that some form of exploitation is going on, but we simply cannot look into further human trafficking investigations involving different communities whilst this investigation is going on.
After 4 months, the trial is finally drawing to a conclusion. Caroline is working on her closing speech. It's the last chance she'll have to remind the jury of the evidence given in court by more than 60 slaves.
Those 60-plus people from whom you have heard have consistently described to you the same thing. Often homeless, self-admitted addicts, or recently released from prison. All united by desperation to work. All describe how they were recruited, the lies and deceit in which they were beguiled into coming into the United Kingdom. The same story about what happened on their arrival in the UK, who met them, where they were taken. The same story about how they were moved from place to place without notice, filthy, overcrowded, pest-ridden conditions, little or no food, and abuse, both mental and physical. 60-plus people who all came to the UK with one purpose, to earn a living, to work hard, to receive a wage for that work. 60-plus people linked only by their treatment at the hands of these defendants and the others mentioned on the indictment. Their guilt betrayed by their words and their actions. Of that, we the Crown say you, on each count that they face, can be quite sure. We therefore urge you to return verdicts of guilty. So that's it.
So you're feeling reasonably confident?
I'm never confident. I'm confident that we have presented this case in the best possible manner and that we have done what we can for the complainants to tell their stories and that we have demonstrated the flaws in the defences being raised, where they are being raised. So to that degree, I'm confident. But what the verdict will be, I have no clue, because who knows what goes on in the room.
It's now time for Caroline to deliver her speech to the jury.
Okay. Right. Thank you, team. Okay. Right, well, before I go in, I just want to say, team, I think you have done an incredible job in all the circumstances. I hope I don't let you down. It's beyond our control now, but whatever verdicts they come back with, the whole process of giving evidence is a game changer for these guys. Okay. Thank you, team. You are fabulous.
Good luck. You'll be amazing. Mm. All right. Okay.
Ah, great.
So what do you feel has been taken from you by this whole experience?
Co, no, czuję, no czuję to, że zostałem wykorzystany.
I felt very used. I felt horrible being used by gypsy people here in the UK. I didn't even know that something like that could have taken place.
Jest ciężko, no. Nie chciałbym do tego wracać, bo jest bardzo ciężko, żeby wspominać, co się działo i chciałbym to zapomnieć, ale jest bardzo mi ciężko w tym.
It's very hard for me. I really don't want to talk about it and think about it anymore. It's too hard.
How important is it to you that the people who did this to you are brought to justice?
Jak istotne, żeby nikogo więcej nie skrzywdzili.
It's important to me for them to stop hurting people.
Więcej kontroli, żeby nie mieli.
To stop having control over other people and control over their money.
Nie wiem.
Right.
So what happened?
And we've received verdicts in respect of all defendants on all counts. Important thing I've got to do now is phone Caroline.
Vic, can you hear me?
I can. So, yeah. I didn't mistype the email, no. So, guilty on all counts, all defendants. Everyone's been remanded in custody over lunch. We're going back in at 3 for any bail applications. I don't know if anyone is making one. Michelle and Mike are here. Very dramatic, really. I mean,
yeah. Tell me what happened.
They'd been told earlier that they could go home early today, and all had nodded enthusiastically, which had led us all to believe that they were miles away from a decision. And then literally, was it 20 minutes later?
Yeah.
25 minutes later? And verdicts on all counts. Yeah. There was no...
Really
nothing.
Out of the blue.
So,
Well, can I just say, team, I am so proud of you all. Oh my God, it's been worth the hell. I'm slightly in shock, if I'm honest.
I haven't said more than two words yet.
Don't know about anyone else, but I think I'm going to dive myself headfirst into a bucket of champagne.
Right. Sounds like a good idea to me.
Either that or rhubarb gin, or maybe both simultaneously. It'd make for a sticky mess, but I really don't care.
Blimey. I was not expecting that today.
No, nor me.
The five gang members convicted in the first trial are sentenced between them to 35 years behind bars.
Sorry, why you do that?
Later, the three other members, including family elder Ignacy Brzezinski, are also convicted. They get a total of 20 years. Back in Poland, DC Mike Wright is trying to track down some of the £2 million the slavers made by exploiting the vulnerable.
Looking for
64, which appears to be that sort of pink coloured building just there.
What, the one on the end?
Yeah, Ignacy described a block of flats, not just a single flat, but the block. So I assume that pink building is it.
If the police can prove the traffickers own properties, they may be able to seize them.
That's definitely the right address. It certainly looks like a Brzezinski property. It's quite extravagantly decorated, gold-framed mirrors, much like the inside where Ignacy and Justyna lived in West Bromwich.
So what would the plan with a property like that be? How do you approach it?
If we can show that he owns the property, it's something that we can seize with the help of the Poles and recover. So we're going to go to a property that Justyna Parczewska has come out and told us that belongs to her, presumably because she knew we'd be making the relevant checks, and so it was in her interest to be honest about her ownership of that property. It does seem like quite a nice area. Some of these look like they're relatively newly developed. They could own other properties in this particular area as well.
Is there any way of getting to the bottom of what they do actually own?
If we can work closely with the Polish authorities, we're hoping that we should be able to have better access to the Polish authorities' systems and establishing what kind of assets these people have. I think it's the second one on the right that we're just coming up to now. It's worth about £80,000, which I'm not really sure how that compares to the rest of the property market in Poland, but for a family who have no legitimate source of income, it's obviously a lot of money, and more likely than not, it's come from their ill-gotten gains.
The slavers caught by Operation Fort will be behind bars for years. The police don't believe they've solved the problem, but they do hope this case will draw attention to the true scale of it.
It is a crime in plain sight. There are people whose next-door neighbours will be victims of trafficking. There are people who will have their car washed by a victim of human trafficking. People who have a parcel delivered that has come through a parcel depot staffed by victims of human trafficking. It is everywhere. We probably touch, receive, buy something that has gone through the victim of human trafficking every day.
Modern slavery is an endemic problem, not just in the United Kingdom, but worldwide. The statistics are that 42 million people are victims of it. That's the combined population of New York, London, and Tokyo. We can't stop this, not immediately, but we can try and we can educate and we can make a change and we can send a message. And the message is, we will not tolerate this behaviour here.
The slaves who testified in court may now be physically free, but they can't escape the memory of what happened to them.
They got big sentences, which is great. But I know they're seeking revenge. And for the rest of my life, I will be looking back. Worried that they will find me and they will kill me.
Do you think you'll ever be free of it?
I hope so. But it's stuck in my mind. I took part of this program because I hope there won't be any more cases like mine. And I want people around to be a bit more sensitive towards what's been happening. I would love to just put end of this and just end the human trafficking.
W końcu zamknąć te wszystkie sprawy z handlem ludźmi.